Chapter 4. His Diary. The views and practices of men of equal excellence have differed considerably in regard to the keeping of a diary. Many have never attempted it. Some who at one period of life commenced it have afterwards from various causes declined it. And others have steadily adhered to a custom which certainly has the sanction of some of the most eminent names in the Church of God. It is at once admitted that many diaries have been kept in the most injudicious manner, and it is still more an object of deep regret that these records have in some instances been published, not merely to the grief of serious and intelligent minds, but to the injury of religion itself, and the exciting a prejudice against all similar records. There are, however, some published journals of excellent men which evince so much solid judgment as well as fervent piety, and have been the sources of so much usefulness, that a more than equal balance is presented against works in part of an opposite description. No one is disposed to lament the publication of parts of the diaries of Philip and Matthew Henry, Brainerd, Doddridge, or Joseph Williams and some others. Writings which illustrate the inward and outward power of godliness, reflect honor upon the individuals themselves, and yield a powerful and holy stimulus to the minds of other Christians. The diary of Jonathan Edwards corresponds in its excellencies with those to which reference is thus made, and will be perused with the same feelings, and lead, it is hoped, to the like beneficial effects. This diary begins December 18, 1722, when he was 19 years of age. As far as to January 15, at night, it is written on two detached slips of paper, and the remainder in a book. 7 As it commences abruptly, and as near as possible to the top of that paper, the beginning of it is undoubtedly lost. And it is not improbable that, as he originally wrote it, it may have reached back, at least to the period of his preparation for the ministry. It was intended, as will at once be perceived, for his own private use exclusively. And had it been with him at the close of life, it is not unlikely it might have been destroyed. Still, whatever is calculated to do good, and is perfectly consistent with an author's real reputation, may be published with honor, whatever his design might be while writing. The best of men, indeed, have thoughts, and opinions, and feelings, which are perfectly proper and right in themselves, which yet it would be wholly improper for them to disclose to others. But a man of sound discretion will take care that nothing of this nature is placed within the reach of accident. What Mr. Edwards wished to have concealed from every eye but his own, he wrote in shorthand. And on one occasion, after having written to a considerable extent in that character, he adds this remark in his customary hand, "Remember to act according to Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge." 8. The reader, while perusing the diary in its various parts, will be struck with it as possessing the following characteristics. It consists of facts, and of solid thought, dictated by deep religious feeling, and not of the mere expressions of feeling, or of commonplace moral reflections or exhortations. It was intended for his own eyes exclusively, and not chiefly for those of his friends and of the public. It is an exhibition of the simple thinking, feeling, and acting of a man, who is unconscious how he appears, except to himself and to God, and not the remarks of one, who is desirous of being thought humble, respecting his own humility. If we suppose a man of Christian simplicity and godly sincerity to bring all the secret movements of his own soul under the clear, strong light of heaven, and there to survey them with a piercing and an honest eye, and a contrite heart, in order to humble himself, and make himself better, it is just the account which such a man would write. Diary. December, 1722. December 18th. This day made the 35th resolution. The reason why I in the least question my interest in God's love and favor, is, -1. Because I cannot speak so fully to my experience of that preparatory work, of which divines speak, 2. I do not remember that I experienced regeneration, exactly in those steps, in which divines say it is generally wrought, 3. I do not feel the Christian graces sensibly enough, particularly faith. I fear they are only such hypocritical outside affections, which wicked men may feel as well as others. They do not seem to be sufficiently inward, full, sincere, entire, and hearty. They do not seem so substantial, and so wrought into my very nature, as I could wish. 4. Because I am sometimes guilty of sense of omission and commission. Lately I have doubted whether I do not transgress in evil speaking this day, resolved, no. December 19th. This day made the 36th resolution. Lately I have been very much perplexed by seeing the doctrine of different degrees and glory questioned. But now have almost got over the difficulty. December 20th. This day somewhat questioned whether I had not been guilty of negligence yesterday and this morning. But resolved, no. December 21st, Friday. This day and yesterday, I was exceedingly dull, dry, and dead. December 22nd, Saturday. This day, revived by God's Holy Spirit. Affected with the sense of the excellency of holiness. Felt more exercise of love to Christ than usual. Have, also, felt sensible repentance for sin, because it was committed against so merciful and good a God. This night made the 37th resolution. Sabbath night, December 23rd. Made the 38th resolution. Monday, December 24th. Higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Christ and His kingdom. Concluded to observe, at the end of every month, the number of breaches of resolutions, to see whether they increase or diminish, to begin from this day, and to compute from that the weekly account my monthly increase, and out of the whole, my yearly increase, beginning from New Year days. Wednesday, December 26th. Early in the morning yesterday, was hindered by the headache all day. Though I hope I did not lose much. Made an addition to the 37th resolution, concerning weeks, months, and years. At night. Made the 33D resolution. Saturday, December 29th. About sunset this day, dull and lifeless. 1722-23, Tuesday, January 1st. Had been dull for several days. Examined whether I have not been guilty of negligence today. And resolved, no. Wednesday, January 2nd. Dull. I find, by experience, that, let me make resolutions, and do what I will, with never so many inventions, it is all nothing, and to no purpose at all, without the motions of the Spirit of God. For if the Spirit of God should be as much withdrawn from me always, as for the week past, notwithstanding all I do, I should not grow, but should languish, and miserably fade away. I perceive, if God should withdraw His Spirit a little more, I should not hesitate to break my resolutions, and should soon arrive at my old state. There is no dependence on myself. Our resolutions may be at the highest one day, and yet, the next day, we may be in a miserable dead condition, not at all like the same person who resolved. So that it is to no purpose to resolve, except we depend on the grace of God. 4. If it were not for His mere grace, one might be a very good man one day, and a very wicked one the next. I find also by experience, that there is no guessing out the ends of providence, in particular dispensations towards me, any otherwise than as afflictions come as corrections for sin, and God intends when we meet with them, to desire us to look back on our ways, and see wherein we have done amiss, and lament that particular sin, and all our sins, before Him, knowing this, also, that all things shall work together for our good. Not knowing in what way, indeed, but trusting in God. Saturday evening, January 5th. A little redeemed from a long dreadful dullness, about reading the Scriptures. This week, have been unhappily low in the weekly account, and what are the reasons of it? Abundance of listlessness and sloth. And if this should continue much longer, I perceive that other sins will begin to discover themselves. It used to appear to me, that I had not much sin remaining. But now, I perceive that there are great remainders of sin. Where may it not bring me to, if God should leave me? Sin is not enough mortified. Without the influences of the Spirit of God, the old serpent would begin to rouse up himself from his frozen state, and would come to life again. Resolved, that I had been negligent in two things, in not striving enough in duty, and in not forcing myself upon religious thoughts. Sabbath, January 6th. At night. Much concerned about the improvement of precious time. intend to live in continual mortification, without ceasing, and even to weary myself thereby as long as I am in this world, and never to expect or desire any worldly ease or pleasure. Monday, January 7th. At night, made the 40th resolution. Tuesday, January 8th. In the morning, had higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Christ, and felt an unusual repentance of sin therefrom. Wednesday, January 9th. At night. Decayed. I am sometimes apt to think that I have a great deal more of holiness than I really have. I find now and then that abominable corruption, which is directly contrary to what I read of eminent Christians. I do not seem to be half so careful to improve time, to do everything quick, and in as short a time as I possibly can, nor to be perpetually engaged to think about religion, as I was yesterday and the day before, nor indeed as I have been at certain times, perhaps a 12-month ago. If my resolutions of that nature, from that time, had always been kept alive and awake, how much better might I have been than I now am. How deceitful is my heart! I take up a strong resolution, but how soon doth it weaken! Thursday, January 10th. About noon. Recovering. It is a great dishonor to Christ, in whom I hope I have an interest, to be uneasy at my worldly state and condition. Or when I see the prosperity of others, and that all things go easy with them, the world is smooth to them, and they are very happy in many respects, and very prosperous, or are advanced to much honor. To grudge them their prosperity, or envy them on account of it, or to be in the least uneasy at it, to wish and long for the same prosperity, and to desire that it should ever be so with me. Wherefore, concluded always to rejoice in everyone's prosperity, and not to pretend to expect or desire it for myself. And to expect no happiness of that nature, as long as I live. But to depend on afflictions, and to betake myself entirely to another happiness. I think I find myself much more sprightly and healthy, both in body and mind, for my self-denial in eating, drinking, and sleeping. I think it would be advantageous, every morning to consider my business and temptations, and the sins to which I shall be exposed on that day, and to make a resolution how to improve the day, and avoid those sins. And so at the beginning of every week, month, and year. I never knew before what was meant by not setting our hearts on those things. It is, not to care about them, nor to depend upon them, nor to afflict ourselves with the fear of losing them, nor to please ourselves with the expectation of obtaining them, or with the hopes of their continuance. At night. Made the 41st resolution. Saturday, January 12th. In the morning. I have, this day, solemnly renewed my baptismal covenant and self-dedication, which I renewed when I was taken into the communion of the Church. I have been before God, and have given myself, all that I am and have, to God. So that I am not, in any respect, my own. I can challenge no right in this understanding, this will, these affections, which are in me. Neither have I any right to this body, or any of its members, no right to this tongue, these hands, these feet. No right to these senses, these eyes, these ears, the smell, or this taste. I have given myself clear away, and have not retained anything as my own. I gave myself to God in my baptism, and I have been this morning to Him, and told Him, that I gave myself wholly to Him. I have given every power to Him. So that, for the future, I'll challenge no right in myself, in no respect whatever. I have expressly promised Him, and I do now promise Almighty God, that by His grace I will not. I have this morning told Him that I did take Him from my whole portion and felicity, looking on nothing else as any part of my happiness, nor acting as if it were. And His law, for the constant rule of my obedience. And would fight with all my might against the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the end of my life. And that I did believe in Jesus Christ, and did receive Him as a Prince and Savior. And that I would adhere to the faith and obedience of the gospel, however hazardous and difficult the confession and practice of it may be. And that I did receive the blessed Spirit as my teacher, sanctifier, and only comforter, and cherish all His motions to enlighten, purify, confirm, comfort, and assist me. This, I have done. And I pray God, for the sake of Christ, to look upon it as a self-dedication, and to receive me now as entirely his own, and to deal with me, in all respects, as such, whether he afflicts me or prospers me, or whatever he pleases to do with me, who am his. Now, henceforth, I am not to act, in any respect, as my own. I shall act as my own, if I ever make use of any of my powers to anything that is not to the glory of God, and do not make the glorifying of him my whole and entire business, if I murmur in the least at affliction, if I grieve at the prosperity of others, if I am in any way uncharitable, if I am angry because of injuries, if I revenge them, if I do anything purely to please myself, or if I avoid anything for the sake of my own ease, if I omit anything because it is great self-denial, if I trust to myself, if I take any of the praise of the good that I do, or that God doth by me, or if I am in any way proud. This day, made the 42nd and 43rd resolutions. Whether or no, any other end ought to have any influence at all on any of my actions, or whether any action ought to be any otherwise, in any respect, than it would be, if nothing else but religion had the least influence on my mind. Wherefore I make the 44th resolution. Quire whether any delight or satisfaction ought to be allowed, because any other end is obtained beside a religious one. In the afternoon I answer, yes, because, if we should never suffer ourselves to rejoice, but because we have obtained a religious end, we should never rejoice at the sight of friends, we should not allow ourselves any pleasure in our food, whereby the animal spirits would be withdrawn, and good digestion hindered. But the quire is to be answered thus, we never ought to allow any joy or sorrow, but what helps religion. Wherefore, I make the 45th resolution. The reason why I so soon grow lifeless, and unfit for the business I am about, I have found out, is only because I have been used to suffer myself to leave off, for the sake of ease, and so I have acquired a habit of expecting ease. And therefore, when I think I have exercised myself a great while, I cannot keep myself to it any longer, because I expect to be released, as my due and right. And then I am deceived, as if I were really tired and weary, whereas, if I did not expect ease, and was resolved to occupy myself by business as much as I could, I should continue with the same vigor at my business, without vacation time to rest. Thus I have found it in reading the Scriptures. And thus I have found it in prayer. And thus I believe it to be in getting sermons by heart, and in other things. At night. This week, the weekly account rose higher than ordinary. It is suggested to me, that too constant a mortification, and too vigorous application to religion, may be prejudicial to health. But nevertheless, I will plainly feel it and experience it, before I cease on this account. It is no matter how much tired and weary I am, if my health is not impaired. Sabbath day, January 13th. I plainly feel, that if I should continue to go on, as from the beginning of the last week hitherto, I should continually grow an increase in grace. After the afternoon meeting, made an addition to the 45th resolution at noon. I remember I thought that I loved to be a member of Christ, and not anything distinct, but only a part, so as to have no separate interest or pleasure of my own. At night. Resolved to endeavor fully to understand 1 Corinthians 7:29-32 and to act according to it. Monday, January 14th. About 10 o'clock in the morning made this book, and put these papers in it. 9. The dedication, which I made of myself to God on Saturday last, has been exceedingly useful to me. I thought I had a more spiritual insight into the Scriptures, when reading the 8th of Romans, than ever before. At night. Great instances of mortification are deep wounds given to the body of sin. Hard blows, which make him stagger and reel. We thereby get strong ground and footing against him. He is the weaker ever after, and we have easier work with him the next time. He grows cowardly. And we can easily cause him to give way, until at length we find it easy work with him, and can kill him at pleasure. While we live without great instances of mortification and self-denial, the old man keeps about where he was. For he is sturdy and obstinate, and will not stir for small blows. This, without doubt, is one great reason why many Christians do not sensibly increase in grace. After the greatest mortifications, I always find the greatest comfort, wrote the 63rd resolution. Such little things as Christians commonly do will not evince much increase of grace. We must do great things for God. It will be best when I find that I have lost any former ancient good motions or actions to take notice of it, if I can remember them. Tuesday, January 15th. About 2 or 3 o'clock. I have been all this time decaying. It seemed yesterday, the day before, and Saturday, that I should always retain the same resolutions to the same height. But alas! How soon do I decay! Oh, how weak, how infirm, how unable to do anything of myself! What a poor, inconsistent being! What a miserable wretch, without the assistance of the Spirit of God! While I stand, I am ready to think that I stand by my own strength, and upon my own legs. And I am ready to triumph over my spiritual enemies, as if it were I myself that caused them to flee, when alas! I am but a poor infant, upheld by Jesus Christ, who holds me up, and gives me liberty to smile to see my enemies flee, when he drives them before me. And so I laugh, as though I myself did it, when it is only Jesus Christ leads me along, and fights himself against my enemies. And now the Lord has a little left me, how weak do I find myself! Oh, let it teach me to depend less on myself, to be more humble, and to give more of the praise of my ability to Jesus Christ. The heart of man is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The occasion of my decaying is a little melancholy. My spirits are depressed, because I fear that I lost some friendship the last night. And, my spirits being depressed, my resolutions have lost their strength. I differ today from yesterday in these things. I do not resolve anything today half so strongly. I am not so perpetually thinking of renewing my resolutions as I was then. I am not half so vigorous as I was then. Nor am I half so careful to do everything with vigor. Then, I kept continually acting. But now, I do things slowly, and satisfy myself by thinking of religion in the meantime. I am not so careful to go from one business to another. I felt humiliation about sunset. What shall I do, in order that I may, with a good grace, fall into Christian discourse and conversation? At night, the next time I am in such a lifeless frame, I will force myself to go rapidly from one thing to another, and to do those things with vigor, in which vigor would ever be useful. The things which take off my mind, when bent on religion, are commonly some remarkable change or alteration, journeys, change of place, change of business, change of studies, and change of other circumstances. Or something that makes me melancholy. Or some sin. Thursday, January 17th. About 3 o'clock, overwhelmed with melancholy. Friday, January 18th. At night. Beginning to endeavor to recover out of the death I have been in for these several days. Sabbath day, January 20th. At night. The last week I was sunk so low, that I fear it will be a long time before I am recovered. I fell exceedingly low in the weekly account. I find my heart so deceitful, that I am almost discouraged from making any more resolutions. Wherein have I been negligent in the week past? And how could I have done better, to help the dreadful low estate in which I am sunk? Monday, January 21st before sunrise, answered the preceding questions. Thus I ought to have spent my time in bewailing my sins, and in singing psalms, especially psalms or hymns of penitence. These duties being most suited to the frame I was in. I do not spend time enough in endeavoring to affect myself with the glories of Christianity fell short in the monthly account. It seems to me that I am fallen from my former sense of the pleasantness of religion. Tuesday, February 5th. At night. I have thought that this being so exceedingly careful, and so particularly anxious, to force myself to think of religion at all times, has exceedingly distracted my mind, and made me altogether unfit for that and everything else. I have thought that this caused the dreadful low condition I was in on the 15th of January. I think that I stretched myself further than I could bear, and so broke. But now it seems to me, though I know not why, that I do not do enough to prepare for another world. I do not seem to press forward, to fight and wrestle, as the apostles used to speak. I do not seem so greatly and constantly to mortify and deny myself, as the mortification of which they speak represents. Therefore, wherein ought I to do more in this way? I answer, I am again grown too careless about eating, drinking, and sleeping, not careful enough about evil speaking. Saturday, February 16th. I do certainly know that I love holiness, such as the gospel prescribes. At night, for the time past of my life, I have been negligent, in that I have not sufficiently kept up that part of divine worship, singing the praise of God in secret and with company. I have been negligent this month past, in these three things I have not been watchful enough over my appetites, in eating and drinking, in rising too late in the morning, and in not applying myself with sufficient application to the duty of secret prayer. Sabbath day, February 17th. Near sunset. Renewedly promised, that I will accept of God from my whole portion, and that I will be contented, whatever else I am denied. I will not murmur, nor be grieved, whatever prosperity upon any account I see others enjoy and I am denied. To this I have lately acted contrary. Thursday, February 21st. I perceive that I never yet have adequately known what was meant by being weaned from the world, by not laying up treasure on earth, but in heaven, by not having our portion in this life, by making the concerns of another life our whole business, by taking God for our whole portion. I find my heart in great part yet adheres to the earth. Oh, that it might be quite separated from thence! I find when I have power and reputation as others, I am uneasy, and it does not satisfy me to tell me, that I have chosen God for my whole portion, and that I have promised to rest entirely contented with Him. Saturday, February 23rd. I find myself miserably negligent, and that I might do twice the business that I do, if I were set upon it. See how soon my thoughts of this matter will be differing from what they are now. I have been indulging a horrid laziness a good while, and did not know it. I can do seven times as much in the same time now, as I can at other times, not because my faculties are in better tune, but because of the fire of diligence that I feel burning within me. If I could but always continue so, I should not meet with one quarter of the trouble. I should run the Christian race much better, and should go out of the world a much better man. Saturday, March 2nd. Oh, how much more base and vile am I, when I feel pride working in me, than when I am in a more humble disposition of mind. How much, how exceedingly much, more lovely is an humble than a proud disposition. I now plainly perceive it, and am really sensible of it. How immensely more pleasant is an humble delight, than a high thought of myself. How much better do I feel, when I am truly humbling myself, than when I am pleasing myself with my own perfections. Oh, how much pleasanter is humility than pride. Oh, that God would fill me with exceeding great humility, and that He would evermore keep me from all pride. The pleasures of humility are really the most refined, inward, and exquisite delights in the world. How hateful is a proud man! How hateful is a worm that lifts up itself with pride! What a foolish, silly, miserable, blind, deceived poor worm am I, when pride works! At night, I have lately been negligent as to reading the Scriptures. Notwithstanding my resolutions on Saturday with St. Night, I have not been sedulous and diligent enough. Wednesday, March 6th. Near sunset. Regarded the doctrines of election, free grace, our inability to do anything without the grace of God, and that holiness is entirely, throughout, the work of the Spirit of God, with greater pleasure than ever before. Thursday, March 7th. I think I now suffered from not forcing myself enough on religious thoughts. Saturday night, March 24th. I intend, if I am ever settled, to concert measures, and study methods, of doing good in the world, and to draw up rules of acting in this matter, in writing, of all the methods I can possibly devise, by which I can in any respect do good. Saturday night, March 31st. This week I have been too careless about eating. Monday morning, April 2nd. I think it best not to allow myself to laugh at the faults, follies, and infirmities of others. Saturday night, April 7th. This week I found myself so far gone that it seemed to me I should never recover more. Let God of His mercy return unto me, and no more leave me thus to sink and decay. I know, O Lord, that without Thy help I shall fall, innumerable times, notwithstanding all my resolutions, how often soever repeated. Saturday night, April 14th. I could pray more heartily this night for the forgiveness of my enemies than ever before. I am somewhat apt, after having asked one petition over many times, to be weary of it. But I am now resolved not to give way to such a disposition. Wednesday forenoon, May 1st. Last night I came home, after my melancholy parting from New York. I have always, in every different state of life I have hitherto been in, thought that the troubles and difficulties of that state were greater than those of any other state that I proposed to be in. And when I have altered, with assurance of mending myself, I have still thought the same, yea, that the difficulties of that state are greater than those of that I left last. Lord, grant that from hence I may learn to withdraw thoughts, affections, desires, and expectations entirely from the world, and may fix them upon the heavenly state, where there is fullness of joy, where reigns heavenly, sweet, calm, and delightful love without alloy, where there are continually the dearest expressions of this love, where there is the enjoyment of this love without ever parting, and where those persons, who appear so lovely in this world, will be inexpressibly more lovely, and full of love to us. How sweetly will those, who thus mutually love, join together in singing the praises of God and the Lamb. How full will it fill us with joy, to think that this enjoyment, these sweet exercises, will never cease or come to an end, but will last to all eternity. Remember after journeys, removals, overturnings, and alterations in the state of my life, to reflect and consider, whether therein I have managed the best way possible respecting my soul. And before such alterations, if foreseen, to resolve how to act. Thursday, May 2nd. Afternoon. I observed this, that when I was at New York, when I meditated on things of a religious nature, I used to conceive of myself as walking in the fields at home. But now I am at home, I conceive of myself as walking in the fields which I used to frequent at New York. I think it a very good way to examine dreams every morning when I awake. What are the nature, circumstance, principles, and ends of my imaginary actions and passions in them? In order to discern what are my prevailing inclinations, etc. Saturday night, May 4th. Although I have, in some measure, subdued a disposition to chide and fret, yet I find a certain inclination, which is not agreeable to Christian sweetness of temper and conversation, either too much dogmatic callousness or too much egotism. A disposition to manifest my own dislike and scorn, and my own freedom from those which are innocent, sinless, yea, common infirmities of men, and many other such like things. Oh, that God would help me to discover all the flaws and defects of my temper and conversation, and help me in the difficult work of amending them. And that He would grant me so full a measure of vital Christianity, that the foundation of all those disagreeable irregularities may be destroyed, and the contrary sweetnesses and beauties may of themselves naturally follow. Sabbath morning, May 5th. Made the 47th resolution. Monday morning, May 6th. I think it best commonly to come before God three times in a day, except I find a great inaptitude to that duty. Saturday night, May 11th. I have been to blame, the month past, in not laying violence enough to my inclination, to force myself to a better improvement of time. Have been tardy with respect to the 47th resolution. Have also been negligent about keeping my thoughts, when joining with others in prayer. Sabbath day morning, May 12th. I have lost that relish of the Scriptures, and other good books, which I had 5 or 6 months ago. Resolved, when I find in myself the least disposition to exercise good nature, that I will then strive most to feel good-naturedly. At noon. Observed to remember the meditations which I had at Westchester, as I was coming from New York. And those which I had in the orchard. And those under the oak tree. This day, and the last night, I read over and reviewed those reflections and remarks, which I find to be a very beneficial thing to me. After the afternoon meeting, I think I find in my heart to be glad from the hopes I have, that my eternity is to be spent in spiritual and holy joys, arising from the manifestation of God's love, and the exercise of holiness, and burning love to Him. Saturday night, May 18th. This week passed, spent in journeying to Norwich, and the towns thereabouts. This day returned, and received a letter from my dear friend, Mr. John Smith. The last Wednesday, took up a resolution to refrain from all manner of evil speaking, for 1 week to try it, and see the effect of it, hoping, if that evil speaking, which I used to allow myself in, and to account lawful, agreeably to the resolutions I have formed concerning it, were not lawful, or best, I should hereby discover it, and get the advantage of temptations to it, and so deceive myself into a strict adherence to my duty, respecting that matter. That corruption, which I cannot conquer by main strength, I may get the victory of by stratagem. I find the effect of it already to be, to make me apt to take it for granted, that what I have resolved on this week, is a duty to be observed forever. I now plainly perceive, what great obligations I am under to love and honor my parents. I have great reason to believe, that their counsel and education have been my making, though, in the time of it, it seemed to do me so little good. I have good reason to hope, that their prayers for me have been, in many things, very powerful and prevalent, that God has, in many things, taken me under His care and guidance, provision and direction, in answer to their prayers for me. I was never made so sensible of it as now. I think it the best way, in general, not to seek for honor, in any other way, than by seeking to be good and to do good. I may pursue knowledge, religion, the glory of God, and the good of mankind with the utmost vigor, but am to leave the honor of it entirely at God's disposal, as a thing with which I have no immediate concern. No, not although, by possessing that honor, I have the greater opportunity to do good. Mem. To be particularly careful, lest I should be tardy in any point wherein I have been negligent, or have erred, in days, weeks, months, or years past. Sabbath day morning, May 19th. With respect to my journey last week, I was not careful enough to watch opportunities of solemnly approaching to God 3 times a day. The last week, when I was about to take up the Wednesday resolution, it was proposed to me, in my thought, to omit it till I got home again, because there would be a more convenient opportunity. Thus am I ready to look at anything as an excuse to grow slack in my Christian course. At night, concluded to add to my inquiries as to the spending of time. At the beginning of the day, or the period, what can I do for the good of men? And at the end, what have I done for their good? Tuesday morning, May 21st. My conscience is, undoubtedly, more calm, since my last Wednesday resolution, than it was before. Wednesday morning, May 22nd. Memorandum. To take special care of the following things: evil speaking, fretting, eating, drinking, and sleeping, speaking simple verity, joining in prayer, slightness in secret prayer, listlessness and negligence, and thoughts that cherish sin. Saturday morning, May 25th. As I was this morning reading the 17th resolution, it was suggested to me, that if I were now to die, I should wish that I had prayed more that God would make me know my state, whether it be good or bad, and that I had taken more pains and care, to see and narrowly search into that matter. Wherefore, mem. For the future, most nicely and diligently to look into the opinions of our old divines, concerning conversion. This morning made the 48th resolution. Monday afternoon, May 27th. Memorandum. Not only to keep from an air of dislike, anger, and fretfulness, in discourse or conversation, but, let me also have as much of an appearance of love, cheerfulness, and benignity, as may be, with a good grace. These following things especially to beware of, in order to the better observation of the 47th resolution: distrust, discontent, uneasiness and a complaining temper, self-opinion, self-confidence, melancholy, moroseness, slight antipathy, privacy, indolence, and want of resolution, to beware of anything in discourse or conversation that savors of these. Saturday night, June 8th. At Boston. When I find myself listless and dull, and not easily affected by reading religious books, than to read my resolutions, remarks, reflections, etc. One thing that would be of great advantage to me, in reading to my prophet, would be, the endeavoring, with all my might, to keep the image and picture of the thing in my mind, and be careful that I do not lose it in the chain of the discourse. Sabbath day, June 9th, after the afternoon meeting. Mem. When I fear misfortune, to examine whether I have done my duty. And at the same time, to resolve to do it, and let it go, and be concerned about nothing, but my duty and my sin. Saturday morning, June 15th. At Windsor. Have been to blame, this journey, with respect to strict temperance, in eating, drinking, and sleeping, and in suffering two small matters to give interruption to my wonted chain of religious exercises. Concluded to protract the Wednesday resolution to the end of my life. Tuesday morning, June 18th. Mem. To do that part, which I conveniently can, of my stated exercise, while about other business, such as self-examination, resolutions, etc., that I may do the remainder in less time. Friday afternoon, June 21st. I have abundant cause, O my merciful Father, to love Thee ardently, and greatly, to bless and praise Thee, that Thou hast heard me, in my earnest request, and so hast answered my prayer, for mercy, to keep me from decay and sinking. O, graciously of Thy mere goodness, still continue to pity my misery, by reason of my sinfulness. O, my dear Redeemer, I commit myself, together with my prayer and thanksgiving, into Thine hand. Saturday morning, June 22nd. Alter the 36th resolution, to make it the same with the Wednesday resolution. If I should take special care, every day, to rise above, or not to fall below, or to fall as little as I possibly could below, what I was the day before, it would be of great advantage to me. I take notice that most of these determinations, when I first resolve them, seem as if they would be much more beneficial than I find them. Tuesday morning, June 25th. Last Sabbath, at Boston, reading the 6th, 7th, and 8th verses of the 6th to the Ephesians, concluded that it would be much to my advantage to take the greatest care, never to do anything but my duty, and then to do it willingly, cheerfully, and gladly, whatever danger or unpleasant circumstances it may be attended with. With good will doing it, as to the Lord, not as pleasing man, or myself. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Saturday morning, June 29th. It is best to be careful in prayer, not to put up those petitions, of which I do not feel a sincere desire, thereby my prayer is rendered less sincere, less acceptable to God, and less useful to myself. Monday noon, July 1st. I find I am not careful enough to keep out all thoughts but religious ones on the Sabbath. When I find the least uneasiness in doing my duty, to fly to the 43rd resolution. Wednesday night, July 3rd. I am too negligent with respect to improving petty opportunities of doing good, thinking that the good will be very small and unextended, and not worth the pains. Resolved to regulate this, as that which is wrong, and what ought not to be. Again confirmed by experience, of the happy effects of a strict temperance, with respect both to body and mind. Thursday morning, July 4th. The last night, in bed, when thinking of death, I thought if I was then to die, that which would make me die in the least degree fearfully, would be the want of a trusting and relying on Jesus Christ, so distinctly and plainly, as has been described by divines. My not having experienced so particular a venturing, and entirely trusting my soul on Christ, after the fears of hell, and terrors of the Lord, encouraged by the mercy, faithfulness, and promises of God, and the gracious invitations of Christ. Then I thought I could go out of the world, as much assured of my salvation, as I was of Christ's faithfulness, knowing that if Christ did not fail me, He would save me who had trusted in Him on His word. At night, whenever things begin to seem to be in the least out of order, when things begin to feel uneasy within, or irregular without, then to examine myself by the strictest examination. Resolved, for the future to observe rather more of meekness, moderation, and temper in disputes. Friday morning, July 5th. Last night, when thinking what I should wish I had done, that I had not done, if I was then to die. I thought I should wish that I had been more importunate with God to fit me for death, and lead me into all truth, and that I might not be deceived about the state of my soul. In the forenoon made the 50th resolution. Thursday night, July 11th. This day, too impatient at the church meeting. Snares and briars have been in my way this afternoon. It is good at such times for one to manifest good nature, even to one's disadvantage, and so as would be imprudent at other times. Saturday morning, July 13th. Transferred the conclusion of June 9th to the resolution, number 57. And the conclusion of May 27th to number 58. And May 12th and July 11th to number 59. And of July 4th, at night, to number 60. And of May 24th to number 61. And of June 25th to number 62. And about noon, the resolution of January 14th. To number 63. In times past, I have been too free in judging of the hearts of men from their actions. Thursday, July 18th. Near sunset. Resolved to make sure of that sign which the Apostle James gives of a perfect man, James 3:2. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able, also, to bridle the whole body. Friday afternoon, July 19th. 1 Peter 2:18 Servants, be subject to your masters, with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. How then ought children to honor their parents? This verse, together with the two following, namely, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God under grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Saturday noon, July 20th. Dr. Manton's sermon, on the 119th Psalm, pages 140, 141. Of evil speaking, use 2d. To them that either devise or receive reproaches. Both are very sinful. Hypocrites, and men that put themselves into a garb of religion, are all for censoring, take a mighty freedom that way these men betray the rottenness of their hearts. Alas, in our own sight, we should be the worst of men. The children of God do ever thus speak of themselves, as the least of saints, the greatest of sinners, more brutish than any man of sinners, whereof I am the chief. You rob them of the most precious treasure. He that robs thee of thy name, is the worst kind of thief. Proverbs 22:1 A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Objection: but must we, in no case, speak evil of another? Or may we not speak of another sin in any case? Solution 1. It is a very hard matter to speak evil of another without sin. In one way or another, we shall dash upon the command, better let it alone. If you speak of the failings of another, it should be with tenderness and grief. As, when they are incorrigible, and likely to infect others. Or when it is for the manifest glory of God to them that receive the slander, he is a slanderer, who wrongs his neighbor's credit, by upholding an ill report against him. Monday afternoon, July 22nd. I find it would be desirable, on many accounts, always to endeavor to wear a benign aspect and air of acting and speaking, in all companies, except it should so happen that duty requires it otherwise. I am afraid I am now defective, in not doing whatever my hand finds to do, with my might, with respect to my particular affairs. Remember to watch, see, and know how it is. Vid. August 31st. I see there is danger, of my being drawn into transgression, by the power of such temptations, as the fear of seeming uncivil, and of offending friends. Watch against it. I might still help myself, and yet not hurt myself, by going with greater expedition from one thing to another, without being quite so nice. Tuesday afternoon, July 23rd. When I find those groanings which cannot be uttered, of which the Apostle speaks, and those soul breakings for the longing it hath, of which the Psalmist speaks, Psalm 119:20. Resolved, to favor and promote them, to the utmost of my power, and not to be weary of earnestly endeavoring to vent my desires, and not to be weary of the repetitions of such earnestness. To count it all joy, when I have occasions of great self-denial. Because, then, I have a glorious opportunity of giving deadly wounds to the body of sin, and of greatly confirming and establishing the new creature. I seek to mortify sin, and increase in holiness. These are the best opportunities, according to January 14, to improve afflictions, of all kinds, as blessed opportunities of forcibly bearing on, in my Christian course, notwithstanding that which is so very apt to discourage me, and to damp the vigor of my mind, and to make me lifeless. Also, as opportunities of trusting and confiding in God, and getting a habit of so doing, according to the 57th resolution. And as an opportunity of rending my heart off from the world, and setting it on heaven alone, according to January 10th and the 43d and 45th resolutions. And according to January 12th, February 17th and 21 and May 1st. To improve them, also, as opportunities to repent of and bewail my sin, and abhor myself. And as a blessed opportunity to exercise patience, to trust in God, and divest my mind from the affliction, by fixing myself in religious exercises. Also, let me comfort myself, that it is the very nature of afflictions, to make the heart better. And, if I am made better by them, what need I be concerned, however grievous they seem for the present? Wednesday night, July 24th. I begin to find the success of my striving, in joining with others, in the worship of God. In summing, that there is a prospect of making it easy and delightful, and very profitable, in time. Wherefore, resolved not to cease striving, but to continue it, and redouble it. Thursday morning, July 25th. Altered, and anew established, the 8th resolution. Also established my determination of April 1st. Memorandum. At a convenient time, to make an alphabet of these resolutions and remarks, that I may be able to adduce them on proper occasions, suitable to the condition I am in, and the duty I am engaged in. Friday afternoon, July 26th. To be particularly careful, to keep up, inviolably, a trust and reliance, ease and entire rest in God, in all conditions, according to the 57th resolution. For this I have found to be wonderfully advantageous to me. At night. Resolved, very much to exercise myself in this, all my life long, namely, with the greatest openness, of which I am capable, to declare my ways to God, and lay open my soul to Him, all my sins, temptations, difficulties, sorrows, fears, hopes, desires, and everything and every circumstance, according to Dr. Manton's 27th sermon, on the 119th Psalm. Saturday forenoon, July 27th. When I am violently beset with temptation, or cannot rid myself of evil thoughts, to do something in arithmetic, or geometry, or some other study, which necessarily engages all my thoughts, and unavoidably keeps them from wandering. Monday afternoon, July 29th. When I am concerned how I shall prepare anything to public acceptance, to be very careful that I have it very clear to me, to do what is duty and prudence in the matter. I sometimes find myself able to trust God, and to be pretty easy when the event is uncertain, but I find it difficult when I am convinced beforehand that the event will be adverse. I find that this arises, 1. From my want of faith, to believe that that particular advantage will be more to my advantage than disadvantage, 2. From the want of a due sense of the real preferableness of that good, which will be obtained to that which is lost, 3. From the want of a spirit of adoption. Tuesday night, July 30th. Have concluded to endeavor to work myself into duties by searching and tracing back all the real reasons why I do them not, and narrowly searching out all the subtle subterfuges of my thoughts, and answering them to the utmost of my power, that I may know what are the very first originals of my defect, as with respect to want of repentance, love to God, loathing of myself, dash to do this sometimes in sermons. Vid. Resolution 8. Especially, to take occasion therefrom, to bewail those sins of which I have been guilty, that are akin to them. As for instance, from pride in others, to take occasion to bewail my pride. From their malice, to take occasion to bewail my evil speaking and so of other sins. Mem. To receive slanders and reproaches as glorious opportunities of doing this. Wednesday afternoon, July 31st. After afflictions, to inquire what I'm the better for them. What good I have got by them. And what I might have got by them. Never in the least to seek to hear sarcastical relations of others' faults. Never to give credit to anything said against others, except there is very plain reason for it. Nor to behave in any respect otherwise for it. Sabbath morning, August 4th. Concluded at last, at those times when I am in the best frames, to set down the aspirations of my heart, as soon as I can get time. Tuesday afternoon, August 6th. Very much convinced of the extraordinary deceitfulness of the heart, and how exceedingly affection or appetite blinds the mind, and brings it into entire subjection. There are many things which I should really think to be my duty, if I had the same affections, as when I first came from New York. Which now I think not to be so. How doth appetite stretch the reason, to bring both ends together? Wednesday forenoon, August 7th. To esteem it is some advantage, that the duties of religion are difficult, and that many difficulties are sometimes to be gone through, in the way of duty. Religion is the sweeter, and what is gained by labor is abundantly more precious, as a woman loves her child the more for having brought it forth with travail. And even to Christ Jesus himself his mediatorial glory, his victory and triumph, the kingdom which he hath obtained, how much more glorious is it, how much more excellent and precious, for his having wrought it out with such agonies. Friday afternoon, August 9th. With respect to the important business which I have now in hand, 10, resolved, to do whatever I think to be duty, prudence, and diligence in the matter, and to avoid ostentation. And if I succeed not, and how many disappointments soever I meet with, to be entirely easy. Only to take occasion to acknowledge my unworthiness. And if it should actually not succeed, and should not find acceptance, as I expected, yet not to afflict myself about it, according to the 57th resolution at night. One thing that may be a good help towards thinking profitably in times of vacation, is, when I find a profitable thought that I can fix my mind on, to follow it as far as I possibly can to advantage. I missed it when a graduate at college, both in point of duty and prudence, in going against a universal benevolence and good nature. Saturday morning, August 10th. Transferred my determination of July 23rd to the 64th resolution, and that of July 26th to the 65th. About sunset. As a help against that inward shameful hypocrisy, to confess frankly to myself all that which I find in myself, either infirmity or sin. Also to confess to God, and open the whole case to Him, when it is what concerns religion, and humbly and earnestly implore of Him the help that is needed. Not in the least to endeavor to smother what is in my heart, but to bring it all out to God and my conscience. By this means, I may arrive at a greater knowledge of my own heart. When I find difficulty in finding a subject of religious meditation, in vacancies, to pitch at random on what alights to my thoughts, and to go from that to other things which that shall bring into my mind, and follow this progression as a clue, till I come to what I can meditate on with profit and attention, and then to follow that, according to last Thursday's determination. Sabbath afternoon, August 11th. Resolved always to do that, which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. As for instance, sometimes I argue with myself, that such an act of good nature, kindness, forbearance, or forgiveness, etc., is not my duty, because it will have such and such consequences, yet when I see others do it, then it appears amiable to me, and I wish I had done it, and see that none of these feared inconveniences follow. Monday morning, August 12th. The chief thing that now makes me in any measure to question my good estate is my not having experienced conversion in those particular steps wherein the people of New England, and anciently the dissenters of Old England, used to experience it. Wherefore, now resolved, never to leave searching, till I have satisfyingly found out the very bottom and foundation, the real reason, why they used to be converted in those steps. Tuesday morning, August 13th. Have sinned, in not being careful enough to please my parents. Afternoon. I find it would be very much to my advantage to be thoroughly acquainted with the scriptures. When I am reading doctrinal books, or books of controversy, I can proceed with abundantly more confidence. Can see on what footing and foundation I stand. Saturday noon, August 17th. Let there, in the general, be something of benevolence in all that I speak. Tuesday night, August 20th. Not careful enough in watching opportunities of bringing in Christian discourse with a good grace. Do not exercise myself half enough in this holy art. Neither have I courage enough to carry it on with a good grace. Vid September 2nd. Saturday morning, August 24th. Have not practiced quite right about revenge. Though I have not done anything directly out of revenge, yet I have perhaps omitted some things that I should otherwise have done. Or have altered the circumstances and manner of my actions, hoping for a secret sort of revenge thereby. I have felt a little sort of satisfaction, when I thought that such an evil would happen to them by my actions, as would make them repent what they have done. To be satisfied for their repenting, when they repent from a sense of their error, is right. But a satisfaction in their repentance, because of the evil that is brought upon them, is revenge. This is in some measure a taking the matter out of God's hands when He was about to manage it, who is better able to plead it for me. Well, therefore, may He leave me to boggle at it. Near sunset. I yet find a want of dependence on God, to look unto Him for success, and to have my eyes unto Him for His gracious disposal of the matter. For want of a sense of God's particular influence, in ordering and directing all affairs and businesses, of whatever nature, however naturally, or fortuitously, they may seem to succeed. And for want of a sense of those great advantages, that would follow therefrom not considering that God will grant success, or make the contrary more to my advantage. Or will make the advantage accruing from the unsuccessfulness more sensible and apparent. Or will make it of less present and outward disadvantage. Or will some way so order the circumstances, as to make the unsuccessfulness more easy to bear or several, or all of these. This want of dependence, is likewise for want of the things mentioned, July 29th. Remember to examine all narrations I can call to mind. Whether they are exactly according to verity. Wednesday night, August 28th. When I want books to read. Yea, when I have not very good books, not to spend time in reading them, but in reading the scriptures, in perusing resolutions, reflections, etc., in writing on types of the scripture, and other things, in studying the languages, and in spending more time in private duties. To do this, when there is a prospect of wanting time for the purpose. Remember, as soon as I can to get a piece of slate, or something, whereon I can make short memorandums while traveling. Thursday, August 29th. Two great kurenda with me now are how shall I make advantage of all the time I spend in journeys? And how shall I make a glorious improvement of afflictions? Saturday night, August 31st. The objection which my corruptions make against doing whatever my hands find to do with my might, is, that it is a constant mortification. Let this objection by no means ever prevail. Sabbath morning, September 1st. When I am violently beset with worldly thoughts, for a relief, to think of death, and the doleful circumstances of it. Monday afternoon, September 2nd. To help me to enter with a good grace into religious conversation. When I am conversing on morality, to turn it over by application, exemplification, or otherwise, to Christianity. Vid. August 28th, and January 15th. At night. There is much folly, when I am quite sure I am in the right, and others are positive in contradicting me, in entering into a vehement or long debate upon it. Saturday, September 7th. Concluded no more to suffer myself to be interrupted, or diverted from important business, by those things from which I expect, though some, yet but little, profit. Sabbath morning, September 8th. I have been much to blame, for expressing so much impatience for delays in journeys, and the like. Sabbath evening, September 22nd. To praise God by singing psalms in prose, and by singing forth the meditations of my heart in prose. Monday, September 23rd. I observe that old men seldom have any advantage of new discoveries, because they are beside the way of thinking to which they have been so long used. Resolved, if ever I live to years, that I will be impartial to hear the reasons of all pretended discoveries, and receive them if rational, how long soever I have been used to another way of thinking. My time is so short, that I have not time to perfect myself in all studies. Wherefore resolved, to omit and put off all but the most important and needful studies. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Dash was the maxim of the wisest of men, and it was founded upon the most solid reason. This maxim has ever been considered as most important by all the possessors of true wisdom and piety who have strenuously aimed at daily spiritual advancement. It has never been regarded without the greatest advantages, nor neglected without the most extensive injury. The views which were entertained of this lesson of spiritual wisdom by Jonathan Edwards are sufficiently apparent in all the extracts now presented from his diary, and the advantages which he derived from its practice are equally manifest. He lived in the sight of God. He lived in the constant and faithful survey of his own heart and conduct, and he arose to the highest class of the followers of Christ, whose religion is eminently that of the heart. Let others pursue the same steps, and they will surely find the same precious results.